Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, we're talking pitchers and catchers. While they're not reporting, the Dodgers do have a roster full of them, and we're going to see if they need more. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vin Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and I'll be rolling solo today as Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential is out. And we're talking pitchers and catchers. Pitchers and catchers were supposed to report this week, supposed to have workouts this week, and none of that is happening because of the MLB lockout. But decided to take a look at the roster of those pitchers and catchers and see what exactly the Dodgers, what could happen after the lockout, and if they need anything to happen after the lockout. This was based off an article from Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic, where he looks at he projected the roster of how it sits now and just kind of how they're going to go into this. If the season started tomorrow, let's say, and this was the roster they were going in with. But before we get into that, just a quick reminder to, not a reminder, but a reminder and a thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. So make sure to check us out and tell your friends to check us out. Okay, so let's start with the catcher position. That's obviously the easiest. We already know exactly what's going to be the catcher position. It's going to be Will Smith and Austin Barnes. They did sign Tomas Tellez to provide depth, I would imagine, in the minor leagues, but I don't expect him to be up unless there is an injury. If there was an injury, I think there would be a few catchers that may not get picked up here in spring or before the season starts that could fill that role better than Tomas Tellez. But either way, you got Will Smith, you got Austin Barnes. Last year heading into the season, you know, Dave Roberts had said he had mentioned a little more playing time for Austin Barnes than maybe we were all comfortable with after that 2017 season when Austin Barnes was, you know, one of the better hitting catchers and one of the best catchers behind Grandal. He's really fallen off since then, hasn't quite recovered. He did have a little bit of a boost the year in 2020 when they got Mookie, and Mookie was helping him out. But that Mookie magic appears to have run out last year. And Austin Barnes, I mean, I talked about him earlier this offseason. It's, you know what you're getting at this point. And with the DH, it does help that you're going to keep Austin Barnes. You will have an extra bat in the lineup. You won't have Austin Barnes and the pitcher spot, which was essentially two free outs at the end of the day, because Austin Barnes, he stopped walking as well. He had a few clutch home runs last year, late in games. He did at that. He did have a little bit more power numbers overall than before. I think his slugging percentage was the second highest of his career, other than that 2017 year. But it didn't help his OPS because he didn't get on base at a high clip. Now, Austin Barnes has a career 335 on-base percentage. Last year, he got on at a 299 on-base percentage with a 215 batting average. His batting average has never really been high other than that 2017 season, but he's always been able to supplement it with the high on-base percentage, getting on base with walks. Last year, not able to do that. In 200 at-bats, he walked just 20 times, or 225 plate appearances, he walked just 20 times, much lower than previous times, almost cut in half for the similar amount of plate appearances than he had in that 2017 season. So, look, he's older, you know, he's not old, but he's older, 32 years old. He's not going to get too much better, you would imagine. He's not going to suddenly, you know, figure it out again. And if he does, great for the Dodgers. But if he doesn't, I think the DH really helps because, it takes away two kind of automatic outs at the bottom of the lineup rather than the one automatic out that they're going to have with Austin Barnes in the lineup. And For a backup catcher, you have him for two reasons. You have him because he knows how to handle the pitching staff, usually more of a veteran, and, you know, can if your main catcher gets hurt, he's not going to hurt you two ways. So if Will Smith gets hurt, Austin Barnes, obviously the offense will be hurt in terms of the catcher position. But the defense, might hurt a little bit. He has a weak arm, but the handling of the pitching staff won't get hurt. And you don't want to, you know, lose a catcher and then have your next catcher be bad with pitchers and bad at hitting. So at least Austin Barnes has been able to show that he's good with pitchers. Maybe not so great at hitting, but that's all you really need out of a backup catcher. I don't, you know, if the Dodgers bring back Kershaw, I'm not sure if Kershaw will still be having Austin Barnes be the bulk of his starts. You know, it might be a matter of, you know, Austin Barnes starts once a week, maybe twice a week if they get Will Smith into the DH role a couple times. So that's going to help out with flexibility. You know, Will Smith, it'll be like kind of similar to the 2020 postseason. Will Smith's still in the lineup at DH. Austin Barnes gets to catch. We know that Clayton Kershaw's comfortable with both, but obviously he might prefer Austin Barnes. Even Walker Buehler comfortable with both, but might prefer Austin Barnes just a little bit. And if that's the way they need to go about it for this year, and get Will Smith a couple days off his feet, but still keep the bat in the lineup, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Although I do think it's beneficial for Smith and Buehler to, lock down and become best battery mates just for the sake of the Dodgers' future. Although this, DH role could help out with that. There might be some years where they want a full-time DH, and, they're not going to sit a full-time DH to get Will Smith in the lineup unless, there's somehow a reason the guy needs a day off. So that's where they're at there. Obviously, now you look at Will Smith. Will Smith, one of the best catchers in baseball already since coming up in 2019. One of the best offensive catchers for sure. Defense, like I said, he still hasn't quite figured it out all the way with the pitching staff, or at least with, a few guys are still a little more comfortable throwing to Barnes. They're not uncomfortable throwing to Smith, but just a little more comfortable throwing to Barnes, which isn't the worst thing. Will Smith has a much better arm behind the plate. Last year, Dodger pitchers were very bad at holding runners on, and, Will Smith made some perfect throws sometimes, but it was just a matter of the guy was already halfway there before he even got the ball, and there was realistically no way for him to throw them out. But he gives you a better arm behind the plate. His framing has picked up a little bit, and I would imagine just continues to get better, and he's going to, help out Dodger pitching and help out Dodger offense for sure as one of the premier offensive talents. And then obviously down the pipeline, Diego Cartaya is down there. He's, I doubt there's any way we see him in the big leagues this year unless there's some crazy tear he goes on in the minors and maybe one of the Barnes or Smith gets hurt and they could bring him up. And when we've seen guys come up at age 20, 21 the last few years on other teams and have success. Juan Soto came up very young, had success. I don't know if Cartaya is quite there, but with Kiber Ruiz out and not really any other, Connor Wong been traded, a couple years ago, there's not that depth there. So if worst came to worst, Cartaya could, get the call up, but I don't see that happening. But hey, you never know. We're going to talk about the bullpen next, but first let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there. And now that it's February, New Year's resolutions might have given up, but there's an easy way to continue with a New Year's resolution if it was to get in better shape or to, just live a healthier lifestyle. Built Bar can help out with that because not only do they taste like candy bars, so you can still have that great taste, that satisfaction of having something sweet, but you're going to get it in a much healthier way with low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, whatever you need. Built Bar's got you covered. They come in a bunch of different flavors. They're always adding flavors, changing flavors. They even got Built Bar Puffs, which is super delicious. It's a protein-infused marshmallow, super fluffy, super marshmallowy. It's kind of like almost similar to like a s'more, but in a protein bar. Go check them out. Go to Built.com. Check them all out. Check out all the flavors. And right now, if you want to order and use the promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's move on to the bullpen, which is one of the Dodgers' strengths at the moment, I would say. They have lost a couple guys from last year, but they are getting a couple guys back that weren't able to help out last year due to injury. As of right now, Kenley Jansen and Joe Kelly are free agents, And it doesn't appear that either are going to sign back with the Dodgers at the moment, or at least it hasn't appeared that way before the lockout. Who knows what's going to happen now? But you look at the bullpen, and Ardiles has 8 guys listed here with a bunch of other options after that. And you got Blake Treinen, Daniel Hudson, Brusdar Graterol, Tommy Canley, Alex Vesia, Phil Bickford, Caleb Ferguson. And he has Evan Phillips in there, with the other options being Victor Gonzalez, Justin Brule, Michael Grove, Garrett Clevenger, Darian Nunez, Sam Gaviglio, Landon Knack, John Duplantier, Carson Fulmer, Yeffrey Ramirez. Now, some of those guys and the other options, most of them will probably get a chance at one point this year just based on the nature of how it goes and how injuries happen, or, you know, if Dodgers need to give a guy a rest and they put him on the IL for a little bit. But you look at that bullpen and you got, you know, if everyone is healthy and back to pre, this is mainly speaking about Canley and Ferguson, if they're back to pre-injury success and pre-injury, you know, able to replicate that, then this bullpen is pretty solid 1-7, and then you got that 8th spot, which is kind of, you know, fluid at the moment. He has Evan Phillips on there, but it can always be a matter of the Dodgers signing another starting pitcher, and then you're moving Tony Gonsolin into a bullpen role, kind of a multi-inning guy, although Evan Phillips did do well in his time with the Dodgers last year. But, you know, you go from the bottom, and you got Blake Treinen and Daniel Hudson, who you would imagine are going to be, you know, the late-inning guys, 8-9-inning guys. Daniel Hudson wasn't that great with the Dodgers the last time, but then went on and had success with the Nationals, and then it was with the Padres a little bit last year. Blake Treinen effectively was the Dodgers' best reliever last year, in terms of, you know, he'd be used in a variety of situations. He might be used in a situation a little more, it might be a little more of a late inning role than a fireman type role, assuming they don't bring back Kenley Jansen. So Blake Treinen closing out games for the Dodgers is something that I know some Dodger fans wanted last year, and something that could happen again this year now that Jansen may be gone. Then you move on to the next couple innings, and you got the guys that I wanted to start the bromance. You got Graterol and Vesia, both guys that had interesting years last year. Graterol finished 2020 very strong, was on the World Series roster, was, you know, helping the Dodgers get big outs. Then something happened in the offseason. We're not sure, you know, COVID and or something else related. He didn't seem to be in favor of the Dodgers front office and coaching staff, because he started in the minors. He'd come up a couple times with injuries, but then go back down to the minors. Finally came back up for good near the middle of the season, and, you know, didn't have quite a strong role at first. Was just kind of filling in here and there, some garbage time, some earlier in the game work. And then once it got down to September and into October, Graterol really, I don't know if he figured something out. I don't know if the moment, he loves that kind of moment, but really started to get more outs, be more efficient, get a little bit more swings and misses, and was honestly one of the Dodgers' better relievers in the postseason. You know, really stepped up and did what the Dodgers needed from him. Whereas Vesia, Dodgers got him in a trade in the offseason, and they got him for Dylan Floro. And then Dylan Floro was having a good start to the season with Miami. Alex Vesia had come up and couldn't find the strike zone with the Dodgers. And it seemed like, oh man, you know, we could actually use Dylan Floro right now rather than Vesia. And that was ignoring the fact that they have full control of Vesia for, you know, 5 more years after this, whereas Dylan Floro was going to be a free agent. But regardless of that, he didn't look good at first. Vesia came up maybe a little bit sooner than he expected or than he was ready for. Maybe he wasn't ready for, you know, handling the pressure of the big leagues and the Dodgers at that moment. He went back down, figured something out, worked on something, came back, and was absolutely lights out the rest of the season. And, again, one of the Dodgers' better relievers into the postseason, coming up in big spots, coming up in big roles, not necessarily being a lefty. You know, he wasn't a guy that you bring in for a lefty or to get, you know, a couple outs against 2 or 3 lefties. He was a guy that you brought in when you needed to get outs in general. So he was a guy, you know, now he's projected to be on the opening day roster. You know, he should, assuming he stays as strong as he was, he's going to be that guy that gets called upon in big moments. And if he continues to bring that energy and bring that fastball, then, you know, he's going to be set for the Dodgers for sure. Another guy in a similar vein is Phil Bickford. And, you know, Phil Bickford, Dodgers claimed him off waivers. He ended up coming up and started off in lower roles, you know, cleanup duty or coming up. You know, if a starter couldn't go that deep, coming in early in the game, whatever the case is, and he really worked himself into a role as well and became one of the Dodgers' better relievers. You know, had a little bit of a hiccup there toward the end of the season, but picked it right back up. And a guy that's also now projected to be on the opening day roster. And it's one of those where we know relievers are volatile. You know, there's a guy, Victor Gonzalez, who I'll start talking about right now too, is he was a guy that was absolutely lights out in 2020. Was absolutely not good in 2021, and it didn't really work out. And now, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from him. He's still there. He's still potentially going to help out the team this year, but you don't know. That's, you know, similar to Vesia and Bickford. You don't know. You can't expect them. You know, the Dodgers came in last year expecting Victor Gonzalez to be a big part of their bullpen, and he just didn't have it. And you know, whether it was conditioning, whether it was, you know, pitching stuff, whether it was, you know, adjusting to not having sticky stuff, whatever the case is, he wasn't good last year, didn't quite work out. He's been working out. Victor Gonzalez has been working out this offseason. I believe we saw a picture like a month ago or so. He's down about 30 pounds. So he looks, you know, fired up, ready to go, and wants to get back on the roster. So that's a good sign for that. Then you got Tommy Canley, Caleb Ferguson. Two guys that it's like signing two, not high-profile relievers, but two very solid relievers. Both coming off injury. Caleb Ferguson, as we know, was great in 2020. Was really, you know, carving himself a role in that bullpen. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt. Tommy Canley, who's been a guy for a while, had been with the Yankees. Signed a two-year deal with the Dodgers, knowing that he wasn't going to be able to pitch in 2021. But was, you know, kind of wanted to rehab and get ready for 2022. And these two guys, you don't know what you're going to get. Obviously, guys coming off injury, you never know what you're going to get. But if they can get back to at least 85-90% of what they were pre-injury, that's still pretty good. If they can get all the way back or even a little bit better, considering, you know, Canley's now working with the Dodgers pitching staff that has helped guys get better before, you know, the Dodgers bullpen becomes a lot more deadly if that's the case. And then, you know, you got Evan Phillips, Justin Brule, who are similar guys that came in and look pretty good in spurts. Obviously, I think they could have been counted on a little more in October. I think Dave Roberts was a little hesitant to count on some of those guys in big roles. And I think it bit them a little bit, obviously, when they brought in Julio late in the game instead of, you know, they could have brought in Brule or whatever the case is. You know, a couple of those times I think they overused guys when they weren't quite ready to let other guys have a shine. But those are also guys that are going to help out with the bullpen. And then you got, you know, down the line, there's a bunch of other guys, Gary Clevenger, Darian Nunez, guys that came up, showed some stuff, could potentially help out here and there, but aren't necessarily expected to be a cog in the bullpen. And then there is Kenley Jansen, there is Joe Kelly, there is two guys that are out there that can obviously push everyone else a spot back, make this bullpen really deadly. I don't know if either of them come back. I don't think so at the moment. But you never know. It might be a crazy scramble when the lockout is over. A bunch of guys might sign for less than maybe that they were than they wanted to, and maybe some roles in other teams get filled. And you know, Kenley Jansen and Joe Kelly are like, all right, you know, let's just run it back with the Dodgers. So it's very possible. I don't think so, but you know, I'm not going to rule it out. But I do think the Dodgers, one of the Dodgers' strengths is the bullpen. Even right now, with no other signings, once lockout ends, the Dodgers are going in with one of the best bullpens, at least in the National League, maybe in baseball, projected. Obviously, you know, bullpens are very volatile. All these guys could forget how to throw a baseball, forget how to pitch, or lose it, and then the Dodgers would be in shambles. But that could happen with any team at any time. So that's how it goes. Let's talk about starting pitchers after we talk about Bet Online. The football season might be over. The basketball season is not, and it's full steam ahead for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance, props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs, and BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is also your source for hockey, for boxing, for UFC odds, right to Olympic coverage and information. So head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device and learn more about the trends and the action that's going on. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we go from one of the strengths to the team in the bullpen to one of the current weaknesses of the team in the Dodgers starting rotation projection. Right now you got Walker Buehler, you got Julio Diaz, and then you got a mismatch of guys. You got Tony Gonsolin, Andrew Heaney, David Price, potentially Trevor Bauer, depending what happens with him and MLB discipline. You got Mitch White, Andre Jackson, Ryan Pepiot, all guys that could theoretically start be on the opening day roster in the starting rotation. Now, here is where you expect at least one more addition to happen, and that one addition, likely Clayton Kershaw. I would go out and say two more additions in Clayton Kershaw and another starting pitcher, whether it's a project-type guy like Andrew Heaney, whether they go out and trade for a more established guy. I mean, I've talked about this before, too. I do think they'll go with either a lower-tier trade that doesn't cost them top prospects or doesn't cost them one of their top three prospects, or they sign somebody that's more of a project, a la Andrew Heaney, and then they expect, you know, Dustin May to get back at some point. They expect Andre Jackson and Ryan Pepiot to kind of step up and fill a role. And then if they need somebody at the deadline, they'll go trade at the deadline, where it's a little bit cheaper depending who you're getting, if it's a rental or you're already down half a season compared to the before the season. So right now, still, like I said, your top two are good. Walker Buehler, Julio. You know, Julio, 20-game winner last year. Walker Buehler, one of the best pitchers in baseball, one of the best big-game pitchers for sure. And both guys got Cy Young votes last year. So you're starting off with a strong 1-2. And then it kind of, you don't know what you're getting from there. Andrew Heaney, you know, obviously people are going to make the comparisons or expect him to make a jump with the Dodgers. But that's not guaranteed. You got Tony Gonsolin, who was really great in 2020 and had some injuries and other issues in 2021. Wasn't quite that good. We don't know where he's going to be at. We don't know how he's going to be. Then you got David Price, who couldn't seem to go more than two times through a lineup. And if you're not going 1-2-3 every inning, that means you're only going three or four innings to get two times through a lineup. So he's not offering much in sense of length. He's also another year older. You know, theoretically could be another year stronger coming off the injury that he had in 2019 and 2020. But you know, whatever the case, that's not where it's at. You know, we had pretty much written off Trevor Bauer before. You know, realistically, it appears that there's a chance that he could find his way back in the rotation. And while it could be a big boost, I mean, it would be a boost to what they have now in the starting rotation, it's still a matter of, you know, how he's going to be. He hasn't pitched at that, you know, at that point, it'd be almost 8 months since he pitched in a major league game, or maybe more, probably more. And, you know, you just don't know how he's going to handle everything. Obviously, fans on both on the Dodgers side and on the other team's side would likely, you know, have issues with him. And any time he pitched would be a little bit of a circus. So we'll see what happens there. But it's, you know, I think Mitch White, Andre Jackson, Ryan Pepiot, those are three guys we've talked about before. Mitch White, I expect not necessarily in a starting rotation role, but a role similar to what he did last year coming up. Filling innings, eating innings. He did have that one wonderful outing when he took over after an opener and went eight innings against the Pirates, I believe, and looked really good. He's capable of that, and, you know, obviously that's capable of starting pitching material, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to be in one of those weird roles where you kind of feel bad for him, like Ross Stripling a few years ago, where, you know, he probably deserves to get a shot at a rotation spot or at least the chance to play for it or pitch for it. And he might not get it just because the Dodgers, you know, have need for him somewhere else. In terms of who else they can go after, I mean, I've talked about a few guys this offseason. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is one of the big ones. There's a few guys out there. You know, Carlos Rodon's probably the next best free agent that hasn't been signed yet as starting pitching. And that's really the only other one I'd call a difference maker in terms of starting pitchers that's left. After that, you're going down to Zach Greinke, Tyler Anderson, Michael Pineda, guy I've talked about, Yusei Kikuchi. You know, Danny Duffy's still out there, but that didn't quite work out. Then you get down into lower tiers where you're looking at Johnny Cueto, Brett Anderson, Zach Davies, Drew Smyly, J-Hap. Nobody that's going to really do anything for you too crazy. So it's a matter of what the Dodgers want. And this is why I said, I think signing Kershaw obviously gives you three top starters or three guys that can potentially be all-star starters. And then after that, you can kind of figure it out. A Zane Greinke type would be good in terms of he's going to give you innings. He might have a 4.45 ERA, but he's going to give you 5-6 innings at least every time out, which is honestly more important. And if he's a number five starter, maybe even not a number four. He has to be your number five starter to do that. But if he's your number five starter giving you that, that's less effective than what the Dodger bullpen games were last year. Obviously, when they had bullpen games, they were usually pretty good. I think an ERA under 3. But you can't run bullpen games all year. And as we saw last year, you know, the bullpen games, they didn't catch up to the bullpen necessarily, but it caught up to the starting pitching. Walker Buehler, Julio Diaz, even though obviously we would love for them to go 6-7 innings every time out, it was almost to a point where they had to go 6-7 innings every time out, and they, you know, probably felt the pressure to do that because they know that they just had 2 out of 5 bullpen games the last 4 games or whatever the case is. So I think that they need to, you know, have that those 5 starters, and I think it is that's where Pepio and Jackson and Mitch White stand in. Is I think they're obviously a year older, a little bit more trusted. You know, Mitch White got into a few handful of games last year. Andre Jackson came up toward the end. I think they can count on Andre Jackson to be a guy that gives you 10, 15 starts if you need. I think they can count on Mitch White to be a guy that gives you similar production. I think they can count on Ryan Pepio at one point to be a guy that can be in the rotation. So I think it's a little bit different from last year, where last year those guys, they didn't know what they could do. They didn't know if they could handle it. They didn't know what it was. Now I think they know that they can, and it's just a matter of how effective they're going to be in those roles. So that's where the starting rotation sits. Like I said, I expect Kershaw to come back. I expect them to get one other starter, whether I don't expect it to be a top-tier starter. I don't expect them to give up any top 3 to 5 prospects yet for a starter. I expect them to kind of sit and wait it out. Hope the offense, you know, is really good. Takes a little bit of pressure off the pitching. The bullpen, obviously, really good. Takes a little bit of pressure off the starting pitching. And they can get by. And then at the midway point when their trade deadline's coming up, they can kind of figure out what exactly they want to do. So that's pitchers and catchers who are not reporting, but we are talking about. And that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Jeff and I possibly will be back tomorrow. We still have to talk about our favorite pitching performances, not Clayton Kershaw, so we'll definitely get into that. But if you need a second listen of the day, Locked On Bets is here for you. They're your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Just like us, free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. If you want to find us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Can get a hold of us via DMs on any of those accounts. You can get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us via voicemail or text at 323-863-LOCK. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.